So now I'm showing you another application. Always solve the least square problem. And I was inspired, from an article I've been seeing in Scientific America a few years ago. The article is this: bigger cities do more with less. Okay, and these are a pair of physicists from Santa Fe Institute who studied somehow the structure of a city in terms of population, socio-economical indicators, physical indicators, pipes. Okay, bikes, road traffic, and they put together an enormous amount of data and they analyzed them. And the title of this article had this subtitle saying, New Science Reveals Why Cities Become More Productive and Efficient as They Grow. Okay, there was a picture here, which is no longer here. But it was here still last year. And that picture made all these data in the space, points in the space, and then there was an hyperplane. So when I've seen this in Scientific America, I said, oh, these are least squares. Okay? So I dig the issue a little bit. And okay, Scientific American is a magazine which is whose audience is made by people with some good background on science, but I noticed that this had already come up somehow in some, let's say, more popular environments. So, for instance, the same thing was up, the same kind of news appeared in the New York Times a little earlier. At the 3 years ago, at the end of 2010, this was an article named "A Physicist Solves the City." Okay, and let me find the point which I and exact was exactly same was exactly same the same thing, but to let's say to a broader audience. Let's say that. So the idea was that, and I was hit by this, let me see if I can find it. Silly, can come. Yeah. Okay, so they collect a huge amount of data on American cities, and so your stats on gas station, personal income, flu, influenza, homicide, coffee shock, many data. Here it's not cited, but also the water pipelines below the city. And this was the sentence that hit me. After 2 years of analysis, they discovered that these urban variables could be described by a few simple equations. For instance, if they know the population of a metropolitan area in a given country, they can estimate its average income with approximately 85% accuracy. Okay, I was hit by this, and I... Okay, so they say that if they know how many people live in an area, they say they can estimate the average income of people. Chiaro cos'è income? Stipendio. Stipendio, salario. Okay, so I said, okay, let me try to do this by myself. And okay, before saying this, okay, imagine this, this is the kind of things that get easily popular in magazines. Okay, you can sell activities pretty well. Well, if you do a high quality algorithm, okay, for some problem, it clearly gets less attention unless it is a worldwide huge breakthrough. And indeed, then I discovered that this made some rumor also 1 year later in The Economist, in which they published another article saying exactly the same stuff. The laws of the city, and the English magazine describes the same type of research with the same type of results. So I tried to check this thing on my own, and I needed data. Okay, and actually it's much easier to find data on America, on the United States, rather than Italy. So I pretty easily find out economic data on the gross domestic product and the metropolitan areas by the Bureau of Economic Analysis. Okay, I tried to look on the ISTAT website earlier, but I wasn't finding data. Okay, well here I find out data in a few minutes. Okay, and indeed these data were analyzed in a paper by researcher of that bureau, and clearly it's not easy to say which is the GDP of an area, okay, because this is not the way GDP is generally measured. Okay, you don't measure the GDP of Pisa separated from Livorno or from the nearby village, and you have to understand what a metropolitan area is and which are let's say which are the boundaries. So they run a pretty serious and accurate analysis, but what mattered to me is that in the end they came up with tables, okay? And from these tables I took out data of 97 American metropolitan area with more than 500,000 people. So here you have the population and GDP in a million of dollars. Okay, and so here I have the 97 areas. And I also get from their paper metropolitan smaller, the data for smaller metropolitan areas. Okay, less than half a million people. And these are obviously a bit more, these are 266. Okay. So I use this data. No, this is no longer interesting. I use this data to check if there's actually any relationship, meaningful relationship between the population of an area and its gross domestic product. Okay. Somehow here you're doing this model in which your input is the population, and you would like to know. Okay. You would like to know the income, or since I didn't get the average income of the people in our situation, the GDP. Okay. So population and GDP. So I here let's hope it works. Wow. Oh no, okay. Okay, so this is the picture. Each point in the plane is a metropolitan area. Okay. This is
it's on this coordinate you have the population of the area, and on this coordinate you have the JADD. Okay? So the 97 areas are this point. Here the scale is 10 million. Okay? 10 million people. So so clearly the wider area is this one. This is almost 20 million people. I think it's the metropolitan area of Los Angeles.
Okay. And I also have okay, let's see. I applied linear least square, so I suppose that somehow that our relationship was linear. Okay? So the GDP is a linear function of the population. Okay? So I look for this for the best of these coefficients according to this square, and you get this one. Okay? Then since actually one of the points in those articles were that the relationship was not linear but super linear, okay, bigger cities do better with less. It means that to get the same result, if the size of a city doubles, you don't have to spend the double resources but a bit less. Okay? I also tried time power. Okay? In the growth model we call this time power. Okay? Now here the word time is a bit out of context because this is not the time, it's the size of the population. Okay? You could say population power, but not usual. So it's a similar type of it's the same type of class of functions. Okay? What changes is not the type of function but your interpretation of the variables in the relationships. Okay? And the result was where is it? I'm sorry. The result was this how would you say? This green curve, okay? Which looks similar to a line, but actually it is not a line. Eh? It started from zero as the black line does, okay? But then it is below zero, it's below, sorry, the black line, and at a certain time it goes up, above the black line. Okay? So this is not linear. It's close to linear, but it is not linear. Okay? And then I did the same thing, including also all the other 266 areas with a smaller population that clearly are all in this area. They are the red dots, so I can enlarge a little bit. Okay. And then I run the least square problem, both with the linear and the, let's say, time power model. Okay, and I got these other curves, which are once again black for the linear model and green for the time power model, but here rather than a line I used a dotted line. Okay, As you can see, the difference doesn't look very meaningful. Okay, it doesn't change much. Okay, here we are in the. No, let me go back again. We are in the area with small, in the area of the picture with the smaller metropolitan areas. You see, there's a difference, but doesn't look very meaningful. Okay, adding all these areas changed your estimation, but not very meaningfully. Okay, as the same kind of the behavior is almost the same. The same. You change the values, but the difference does isn't very in this coefficient. The difference isn't very very meaningful. Why do they change? Well, because in the first case you made your evaluation here with 97 data. Pairs of data, JPD and population. And in the second case, you made it with 97 plus 266 data. Okay? So the new data affect the results, but the difference is not very meaningful. Okay? So the point is, okay, I use this estimation, and sorry, I'm saying, well, are they good or not? This is the question I asked at the beginning. Am I able to predict with a good accuracy the GDP of an area knowing its population? Suppose I have a new area, okay, and I know its population. Can I really predict the GDP? Because here you have the model, okay? We solved it and we have parameters. Let me see. Okay. These are the instruction according to which I made non-linear least squares. Let's focus on the case with the 97 bigger areas. Okay, so the result is NA. NA. So the parameters are this one. Okay. A is 0.012129 and so on, and the power is 1.0809 and so on. Okay. If I consider also the smaller areas, these are the data. This is the result, sorry, and you see that there's a bit of difference but not that huge. Okay. So, but let's go back to the question. Is this measure good or not? Okay. In the case of scientific journals, we had no trouble. Okay. It was clear, very evident from the picture that the relationship was really bad. Okay. Here, it doesn't look this bad, okay, because indeed the points in the two-dimensional spaces are clustered close to these curves, okay, in this case it's a line. And clearly it looks like that the green is better. I didn't analyze, let's see. NR is the value. Let's see the value.
Well, the optimal values are this one, okay? No linear model, linear model. Okay? Not a big difference, but you cannot measure the quality, okay, the quality of your estimation with this optimal value. Why not? Because these are big, a very big values, and these values are affected by the dimension of the quantities. Okay, so you could have very small values here, let's say in an application, and that could be a bad approximation with not much accuracy. And here you can have huge values, but the approximation is good. Let's say this is the actual value, 0.5, and I predict 0.1. Okay. Well, if you measure the difference is 0.4 squared, okay, 0.16. And now suppose you have 10.5 million, okay, and you compare with 10.1 million, okay. Here the value is much more. If you take the difference, the difference is 400,000, and then you take the square root. Okay, but this approximation doesn't look better to you than this. Clearly, why? Because here the true value is five times your prediction. And here your value is 1.0 something times the actual value. Okay, so you cannot rely on the value of the objective function as a measure of accuracy. Okay, it just measures if giving A and B some values is better than giving some other values. Okay, inside the model, but don't tell you anything on accuracy because they strongly depend on the absolute values of the quantities. Okay, so one way to overcome this issue is clearly consider not absolute errors when you take here the difference. You are taking the absolute error, but take the relative error. Okay. So if you take 1/2 minus 1/10 over 1/2, okay, you get a value which is much more bigger than if you take, let's say, 0.04 divided by it's almost 0.05, but this is almost 1. Okay. So what you can do is you can take relative errors. So take an area. Okay. This is its population. This is the value I predicted. This is the actual value. I take the difference, the absolute value of the difference, and then I divide for the actual value. So I consider the percentage of my mistake. Okay, and then you can make this for all
for all points, okay, you can make this for all points, and then you have a vectors of errors. I did it here. Where is it? Okay. Here I computed the... This is the actual value. This is my model, where x1 and x2 are the best coefficients. Okay. They will be here. And then I take... okay, here I'm dividing each of these. I could have done it. Okay, no. I divided each by the true quantity. This indicates division component by component of the two vector. So, if I take this quantity, I have the vector of true errors, of errors, okay? They are all of order of magnitude time to the fourth power, okay? This is even bigger. And here I can take the error, the relative errors, okay? So here are my mistakes, 15%, 7%, 28%, 34%, and so on. Well, what I can do is to take, for instance, the mean, okay? Or the maximum, or the minimum. Let's check all three of them, okay? So, if I take the maximum, this is what I get. If I take the minimum, this is what I get. And if I take the mean, the average, this is what I get. Okay. So, let's focus on that. Okay, this is the maximum mistake I made. Okay, 170 and 67 and 68%. Okay, it's huge. We can see it on somehow. We can try to have a look at it on the picture. It's probably one of these. Okay. I'm sure that I never did a mistake greater than that. But this doesn't sound good as information. You say the maximum error I can do is that one. Okay. But if you look at the picture, you make this sort of mistakes, let's say 1, 2, 3, less 3 or 4 times over 97 cities. And in the same way, it is not reasonable to take the minimum, okay? Because the minimum is 0.1%. It means that there is a point which is actually almost on your curve, okay? So the minimum is meaningless because you say I never do better than this, but here you are almost saying, I'm doing the best I can. The maximum, okay, tells you that I'm sure inside that range, but is generally too large. If you take simply the mean is here is 19%. Okay? The average mistake I made is 90%. Okay? So I could say I'm able to predict the GDP of an area from its population with an accuracy of 81%. If you remember the article by the American physicist. This is what they are saying. We can estimate with approximately 85% accuracy the average income. Okay. What did they do? Well, they did something like this. Okay. They had the data, they made a model, and then probably they made the model with a least square problem, and then they computed the average error, relative error they compute. Okay. So one of the goals to me was showing you that under this interesting stuff, which got a lot of space on magazine, actually you have just least squares. Okay, you can do a lot of interesting stuff with least squares. I tried it with a scientific journal. What was the mean? Which was the mean error, and so the accuracy. I think that the mean error was about 200%. Okay. Clearly, if your mean error gets huge, your model is not good. Doesn't represent this phenomenon. You didn't manage to have a good idea of this box. Okay. 20% mean error, 20%, well, we can discuss, okay? So we could say 81% accuracy, or in a very rough model that we built with very rough data, sounds a pretty good result. This is the kind of stuff that in social economic analysis is used very often. Okay, these are the tools. On Thursday we have seen some mathematics and algorithmic framework behind that. You can go on software and you can often find it. Okay, and you okay? I merely used their routine to solve the problem. But you can have software also do some a part of the analysis of the results for you. Okay, so I think this is all for today, and I think we meet on Thursday, and we will start the other huge chapter of optimization in this course, which is the constraint case.